Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. My name's Chris McElyea, your host today. I'm glad that you've joined me, and I hope you'll stay with me for the next hour or so as we spend time in God's Word this morning in our continuing study of the Old Testament in 2017. And today, we're going to begin the book of Jeremiah here in just a few minutes. And we're going to consider those first 10 chapters this morning. But before we do that, I do want to make you aware of a few things. And one of those is coming up in Mount Pleasant, Texas, and that is the Titus County Fair. And that is going to be September 28th through the 30th. And you may be wondering, well, why is he mentioning a county fair here on TGRN? Well, the reason is that the Gospel Radio Network, along with the congregation at Mount Vernon and the congregation from North Jefferson in Mount Pleasant and Blodgett, will be there. And we'll be set up. We'll be passing out tracts and DVDs and visiting with people and hopefully be able to set up some Bible studies. And we'd also like you to come by and meet us. So if you're in the Mount Pleasant, Texas area, that's at the Titus County Fair, September 28th through the 30th. Also, on September the 30th, there's going to be a Ladies' Day, and that is going to be at the Maud Congregation in Maud, Texas. The speaker is going to be Cindy Colley, and the registration will begin at 9 a.m. There will be a lunch provided. So, ladies, this is a great opportunity for study and fellowship together at the annual Ladies' Day at the Maud Church of Christ in Maud, Texas. Also, want to a little further out, but just to mention to you that coming up October 5th through the 7th is the Texas Ladies in Christ Retreat. Now, the registration has already closed for this year, but we want you to keep that in mind and also make plans to attend in the future. For more information concerning the Texas Ladies in Christ Retreat, you can call 903-537-4129 and get in touch with our sister Priscilla Smithy, and she will help you ladies with any information about that. Now, let's get right into our study this morning. And we've just completed our study of the book of Isaiah, and today we turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a priest when he was called to be a prophet. He was living in the village of Anathoth, about 3 miles north of Jerusalem. Jeremiah was the son of Hilkiah. It is not known for sure if this was the Hilkiah that was high priest that we read about in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 8. But it is possible that Jeremiah's father was Hilkiah the high priest. But we simply do not have enough information given to us to be dogmatic in that assertion. Now, Jeremiah was called to preach during the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, and this would be about 629 B.C. Jeremiah would preach until well after Judah had been carried away to Babylonian captivity. The events of Jeremiah continue on until about 20 years after the fall of Jerusalem. The events in the latter chapters actually occur in Egypt, where Jeremiah had been taken by those who killed Gedaliah. Jeremiah's character was marked by his great love for the people of Judah. Though he is often referred to as the weeping prophet, it certainly did not stop him from delivering the truth concerning the judgments of God against sinful Judah. We find Jeremiah is certainly standing opposite of the modern-day thought of softening the message, or even worse, ignoring the message. If we today would love people as Jeremiah did, then we would be willing to speak out about sin wherever we find it. Jeremiah would preach God's message in a plain and simple manner, and because he spoke truth, people would hate him for it. And we should expect no less today when we speak truth. Jeremiah gave up much in order to follow God, but he knew that the reward would be worth it. Consider that he obeyed God's command to him to not marry. In chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, it says, "The word of the Lord also came to me, saying, You shall not take a wife, nor shall you have sons or daughters in this place." And so, Jeremiah obeyed God's command to him not to marry. And also consider that Jeremiah obeyed God when he did not mourn for his people. In chapter 16 and verse 5, "For thus says the Lord, Do not enter the house of mourning, nor go to lament or bemoan them, for I have taken away my peace from this people, says the Lord, loving kindness and mercies." The book of Jeremiah is filled with many amazing revelations by Jeremiah, and they are often referred to as Jeremiah's confessions. These confessions reveal to us the nature of both man and God. For example, consider chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. O Lord, correct me, but with justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing." And we can find other similar revelations in the book here. We might note for later reference chapter 11, verse 18 through chapter 12 and verse 6. Also, chapter 15, verses 10 through 21. Chapter 17, verses 9 through 11. Chapter 17, verses 14 through 18. Chapter 18, verses 18 through 23. And chapter 20, verses 7 through 18. We might note here, before we get into chapter 1, a few interesting facts about the book of Jeremiah. Many people believe that Isaiah is the longest book of the prophets, and it is by the number of chapters, but Jeremiah is truly the longest. Isaiah has 1,292 verses, while Jeremiah has 1,364 verses. Isaiah contains 37,044 words, and in Jeremiah we find 42,659 words. So there is much here in this book for us. So let's begin now to examine this great book of the Old Testament. The name Jeremiah means Jehovah establishes. And so let's enter chapter 1. And chapter 1 begins in the first 10 verses with Jeremiah's call to be a prophet. Verse 1. "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. The 13th year of Josiah would have been 627 B.C., according to history. Verse 4, and here we see Jeremiah's call. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. What a sobering thought, that God knows us even before he forms us in the womb. Verse 6, Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Friends, God is with his people, whether they are young or old. As Paul told Timothy, let no man despise your youth. Verse 8. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Jeremiah's message was going to greatly anger many, but God would be with him. And notice that his mission was to destroy and to build. Now God gives Jeremiah proof in the coming verses with two visions that begin in verse 11 and run through verse 16. Verse 11, Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, You have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. So Jeremiah sees an almond branch. The almond tree is one of the earliest trees to bloom every year. It actually blooms normally in January. In verse 13, the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, What do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, Out of the north calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. They shall come, and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls all around, and against all the cities of Judah. I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. So Jeremiah received the second vision, a boiling pot that is representative of those who were going to overrun Judah. It is a sad description that we are given concerning Judah, and the boiling pot would be those Babylonians that God would use to punish Judah, and then later they would be punished for their evil as well. And so God now gives a charge to Jeremiah in verses 17 through 19. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise. and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. God is telling Jeremiah to be brave and to be courageous and not to be overcome with fear. This reminds us of the charges given to Joshua. Verse 18, for behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priest, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Jeremiah is reminded that he can stand up to whatever enemies face him if God is on his side. If God be for us, who can be against us? It was time now for Jeremiah to go destroy and build up. And with that, we move into chapter 2. And there we see the present state of Israel at that time, and a pronouncement of the future consequences that lay ahead of them. And so God gives the case against Israel. Chapter 2 now, beginning in verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal, when you went after me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. Israel was holiness to the Lord, the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him will offend. Disaster will come upon them, says the Lord. The Lord sets the scene for the wrath that is due his people. God loved Israel, but Israel was an unfaithful bride, much like Gomer was to Hosea. Verse 4. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, have followed idols, and have become idolaters? God wants to know where he had let them down and caused them to become unfaithful to him. Obviously, God had never let them down. They were stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart, just as their forefathers had been. Verse 6. Neither did they say, where is the Lord, who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt. I brought you into a beautiful country to eat its fruits and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest did not say, where is the Lord? And those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. So God rebukes them for their many transgressions in spite of his goodness toward them. He continues in verse 9. Therefore, I will yet bring charges against you, says the Lord, and against your children's children I will bring charges. For pass beyond the coast of Cyprus and see. Send to Kedar and consider diligently, and see if there has been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. The Lord promises punishment for those who reject him. Verse 13 is very illustrative of those who trust in self and other gods instead of the living God. He compares them to broken cisterns that hold no water. Verse 14. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he plundered? The young lions roared at him and growled. They made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. Also the people of Noph and Tapanhes have broken the crown of your head. Have you not brought this on yourself, in that you have forsaken the Lord your God when he led you in the way? God is pointing out that all of the problems that Judah faced was of their own doing. They had brought it all on themselves. Verse 18. And now why take the road to Egypt, to drink the waters of Sihor? Or why take the road to Assyria, to drink the waters of the river? Your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. They had left the way of the Lord, and their sin was certainly going to find them out. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15 points out that the way of the transgressor is hard. They were going to have 70 years in which to learn that lesson. And now we see in verses 20 through 30 the problem in that Israel was not ashamed of their sin. Verse 20. For of old I have broken your yoke and burst your bonds, and you said, I will not transgress, when on every high hill and under every green tree you lay down playing the harlot. Yet I had planted you a noble vine, a seed of highest quality. How then have you turned before me into the degenerate plant of an alien vine? For though you washed yourself with lye and used much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord God. God had placed the yoke upon his people so that they might serve him, but instead they broke the yoke. God's people said, I will not serve. Israel could wash themselves with all the soap in the world, but their iniquity would remain until their hearts were changed. Verse 23. How can you say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after the Baals. See your way in the valley. Know what you have done. You are a swift dromedary breaking loose in her ways, a wild donkey used to the wilderness. that sniffs at the wind in her desire. In her time of mating, who can turn her away? All those who seek her will not weary themselves. In her month they will find her. Withhold your foot from being unshod, and your throat from thirst. But you said there is no hope. No, for I have loved aliens, and after them I will go. God's people had deceived themselves in their self-righteousness. Their works testified against them. God compared them to a wandering donkey in the mating time, going from place to place in the lust of their sexual desires. Verse 26. As the thief is ashamed when he is found out, so is the house of Israel ashamed, they and their kings and their princes and their priests and their prophets, saying to a tree, "You are my father," and to a stone, "You gave birth to me." For they have turned their back to me and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, "Arise and save us." But where are your gods that you have made for yourselves? Let them arise, if they can save you in the time of your trouble. For according to the number of your cities are your gods, O Judah. The shame that would be brought upon Judah is depicted here, and it is open, and it is a painful wound. Verse 29. Why will you plead with me? You all have transgressed against me, says the Lord. In vain I have chastened your children. They receive no correction. Your sword has devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. To bring forth repentance, the Lord at various times had smitten their children. And he had sent the prophets, yet they killed the prophets like a destroying lion. The judgments of the Lord had been soon forgotten and ignored every time. In verses 31 to 37 now, we see God's long suffering with sinful Israel. O generation, see the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel, or a land of darkness? Why do my people say, "We are lords"? We will come no more to you. Can a virgin forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Why do you beautify your way to seek love? Therefore you have also taught the wicked woman your ways. And on your skirts is found the blood of the lives of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but plainly on all these things. Yet you say, "Because I am innocent." Surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead my case against you, because you say, "I have not sinned." Why do you gad about so much to change your way? Also, you shall be ashamed of Egypt as you were ashamed of Assyria. Indeed, you will go forth from him with your hands on your head, for the Lord has rejected your trusted allies, and you will not prosper by them. The end of verse 31 pretty well sums up the whole attitude of Judah by saying, "We will come no more unto you." And now we come to chapter 3, and we'll cover this chapter basically in summation here for time restraint. But in verses 1 through 10, we see that Judah rejected the lessons that should have been learned from her sister Israel. Judah, had committed spiritual adultery against God and then proclaimed themselves to be innocent. God would not take them back. And Judah is called upon to learn the lesson from their sister Israel concerning their disobedience, but they refuse to learn from Israel's mistakes. Judah had been witness to Israel's spiritual adultery, but yet they continued in their own spiritual adultery, ignoring the punishments of Israel. In verses 11 through 18, we see the northern kingdom encouraged to repent. Notice verse 11 and the strong rebuke we see here. Then the Lord said to me, "Backsliding Israel has shown herself more righteous than treacherous Judah." In essence, even though Israel and Judah committed the same sins, Judah was more evil because they did not learn from the example of Israel. God will accept those who are willing to turn and repent and change from the ways of sin, but there are few that are willing to do that. Verses 19 through 25 show God's desire and expectation of his people. Let's notice verses beginning in verse 22 here, what God desires from his people. "Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Indeed, we do come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Truly, in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly, in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame has devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our reproach covers us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even to this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God." The Lord has identified the sins of Judah. And chapter 4 will continue to reveal this to us. Chapter 4. The highlights of chapter 4 include the fact that Judah had no understanding or knowledge of good. Notice verse 22. "For my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are silly children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." Verse 8 is a consequence of their sins. Notice, "For this, clothe yourself with sackcloth, lament and wail, for the fierce anger of the Lord has not turned back from us." It also points out that both good and evil would now be subject to the wrath of God. Notice verses 11 and 12. "At that time it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, 'A dry wind of the desolate heights blows in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan or to cleanse. A wind too strong for these will come for me. Now I will also speak judgment against them.'" The Lord had rendered the judgment that Judah would be punished. Notice verses 27 and 28. "For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate. Yet I will not make a full end, for this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken. I have purposed and will not relent, nor will I turn back from it. God determined that Judah would be laid to waste, and nothing Jerusalem could do would stop the judgment of God. But, as verse 18 pointed out, they had no one to blame but themselves. Your ways and your doings have procured these things for you. This is your wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reaches to your heart. Chapter 5, and this begins with a further description of Jerusalem's godlessness. God has said that he would pardon Jerusalem if there was one man who was righteous, yet not one could be found. Verse 1. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know, and seek in her open places. If you can find a man, if there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, and I will pardon her. Though they say, as the Lord lives, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You have stricken them, but they have not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to return. Verse 7 asks the question for which there was not a good answer. How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me, and sworn by those that are not gods, when I have fed them to the full. Then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. Verses 14 through 31 will point out God's use of Jeremiah. The words of God's prophet Jeremiah would be like a fire upon Judah. Babylon would be to them like Assyria had been to Israel. God would have to break them in order to bring repentance from their evil lives, for nothing else would move them to repentance. Chapter 6 begins. We see the first verses 1 through 21 there. We see the threatened siege of Jerusalem that is coming. And then in verses 22 through 30, we see that the invaders are coming from the north. Not one sincere worshiper of God had been found in Judah. From the rich to the poor, the educated to the uneducated, they had all turned away from the Lord. Notice verse 13. Because from the least of them even to the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. Back in chapter 5, the Lord had defined sincerity as those who would exercise and seek justice and truth. Go back to chapter 5 and verse 1. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know, and seek in her open places. If you can find a man, if there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, and I will pardon her. In their deluded minds, the people continue to offer vain worship to the Lord that they felt was acceptable. Notice verse 20. For what purpose to me comes frankincense from Sheba and sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet to me. They had no fear of God, and they were not ashamed of their sins. Notice verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Judah had rejected God's laws. Notice verse 19. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it. The Chaldeans would come from the north, and they would come with great fierceness. Verse 23. They will lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roars like the sea, and they ride on horses, as men of war set in array against you, O daughter of Zion. God had established that the Chaldeans would lay siege to Jerusalem, and they would without mercy besiege it, and they would devour the city and its people. Chapter 7, and we see here the temple worship is of no avail to the ungodly. Here in chapter 7, a sermon was preached by Jeremiah at the gate of the temple. And the main gist of his teaching is seen in verse 28. Notice verse 28. So you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. God's people would not receive instruction or obey it. Again, they believed everything was okay and went about their business. Sadly, this is seen so much today. God's people refusing to receive correction and going about their business thinking everything is okay. The Jews had placed their trust in the temple rather than God. They had no love for truth and justice and mercy. Yet, verse 8 points out that they, however, would gladly listen to false prophets. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. How many times we've seen those today who will put great stock in the words of false teachers and flatterers, yet refuse to heed the words of godly preachers and elders. The result of refusing to receive correction for Judah would be the pouring out of God's wrath upon them. Notice here chapter 7 and verse 20. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury will be poured out on this place, on man and on beast, on the trees of the field and on the fruit of the ground, and it will burn and not be quenched. Chapter 8 presents the spiritual sickness of Judah. And in chapter 8 it is shown to be even worsening. Here the sins of Judah are identified, and the great lesson for us can be found in that they believed they were in God's favor, and their conscience was clear in their own minds. However, we must realize that our conscience does not determine whether we are acceptable to God. The only standard is the Word. They had walked in their own counsel and wisdom, and that was a tragic mistake with eternal consequences. I pick up in verse 1. At that time, says the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of its princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. They shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven, which they have loved and which they have served and after which they have walked, which they have sought and which they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor buried. They shall be like refuse on the face of the earth. Then death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of those who remain of this evil family, who remain in all the places where I have driven them, says the Lord of hosts. Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why has this people slidden back, Jerusalem, in a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I listened and heard, but they do not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course, as the horse rushes into the battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. How can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Therefore I will give their wives to others, and their fields to those who will inherit them, because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not ashamed at all. Nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall in the time of their punishment. They shall be cast down, says the Lord. I will surely consume them, says the Lord. No grapes shall be on the vine, no figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade. All the things I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter the fortified cities, and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God has put us to silence, and given us the water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and there was trouble. The snorting of his horses were heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighboring of his strong ones, at the neighing of his strong ones. For they have come and devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those who dwell in it. For behold, I will send serpents among you, vipers which cannot be charmed, and they shall bite you, says the Lord. I would comfort myself in sorrow. My heart is faint in me. Listen, the voice, the cry of the daughter of my people from a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images, with foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? As we move into chapter 9, the first 9 verses continue to lament the sinful state of Judah. And so Jeremiah's lamentation continues forward into chapter 9. For Jeremiah, life was becoming unbearable among the sinfulness of the people. They were truly living the lie. In verses 9 through 22 of chapter 9, we see God's response to their false and their lying ways. And the reason for God's judgment and his vengeance is clearly pointed out. The people had forsaken and have not obeyed the laws of God. Verses 23 through 26 point out God's delight and desire for his people. The sin of Judah had been fully exposed. But if they desired, they could turn back to the law. And they could learn it and live it and teach it to others, much like Ezra would do, as we read in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. Chapter 10 presents a contrast in the first 18 verses. The false gods of the heathen are contrasted with the character of the living God. And then the latter part of chapter 10 in verses 19 through 24, we see the desolation bewailed. Verse 19, woe is me for my hurt. My wound is severe. But I say truly, this is an infirmity, and I must bear it. My tent is plundered, and all my cords are broken. My children have gone from me, and they are no more. There is no one to pitch my tent any more, or set up my curtains. For the shepherds have become dull-hearted, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Behold, the noise of the report has come, and a great commotion out of the north country, to make the cities of Judah desolate, a den of jackals. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. O Lord, correct me, but with justice. Not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. Pour out your fury on the Gentiles who do not know you, and on the families who do not call on your name. For they have eaten up Jacob, devoured him and consumed him, and made his dwelling place desolate. We might say that the theme of the entire book of Jeremiah can be summed up in verse 23. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Judah had forsaken, forgotten, and rejected God. They had attempted to direct their own steps. Their leaders were corrupt and false. They led the people astray largely because the people were without knowledge. My friends, the same thing is happening across the land today. Men are being allowed to teach their own ideas rather than God's pattern, and many are being led astray on a road toward destruction. My friends, let us heed the lessons of Jeremiah, and we'll continue this study tomorrow. I thank you for joining me today. I hope that this time has been edifying to you. I know that you have certainly encouraged me by your presence. And I hope that you will tune in again tomorrow at 9 a.m. for another edition of Mornings for the Master. And stay tuned the rest of the day for all of the programming here on the Gospel Radio Network. And so, until next time, this is Chris McElyea saying so long and have a great day.